In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Well, all right, y'all. All across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer Cali. So if you keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the streets.
Welcome to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, a production of iHeartRadio and Black Effect Podcast Network. Make sure you download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles. For my Apple users, hit the purple mic on your front screen, subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles, and leave a 5-star rating and comment.
We'd like to welcome everyone to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, and I'm with my brothers.
Big J.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a period of time, man, back in the late 90s, and I would say from the late 90s, you know, mid-90s kind of to the early 2000s, man, Master P had a chokehold on rap, a serious chokehold on rap, and it just kind of just came. You can't say it came from out of nowhere because he just kind of just crept on up. And I remember every No Limit record that you would go buy, you look on the back of the album cover and you see all these different cats you never heard of about to come with albums. You'd be like, man, it just made you interested in knowing who these different artists was. Skull, Duggery, Fiend, and you know these dudes you ain't never heard of, Mia X, Mr. Servo, and all these different people. And one of them people was somebody from Kansas City, Missouri named Big Court. And we got him live on the hot seat tonight.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what's going on, world? What's cracking with you, man? I'm glad to be here, bro.
Oh, man, for sure, man. We glad to have you, man, because I got a lot of I really want to get your perspective on a lot of different things, man, because you are one of the people that kind of, like, made it from rap and took advantage of all the opportunities you had in rap and started to get into some whole other stuff that we talk about, you know, real estate and just other different things that, you know, the average dude ain't thinking about that, man, when he get a record contract, man. And, you know, he just thinking about getting him some jewelry.
Right.
So that was your position? You was a rapper?
Yeah. I signed with
big ass?
Yeah. I wasn't like this all the time.
You wasn't the security guard?
Nah, man. Oh, I was never the security, bro. The thing about it, bro, I signed with P right out of high school. I was 18. You know what I'm saying? This was 95. So, I played basketball, bro. Everybody think I was like this, but I wasn't. You know what I'm saying? I didn't pick up a weight till I was 30, bro.
Damn.
Oh, sure, because you got some. If y'all see this brother, this brother's on swole right there.
Yeah.
He got like Popeye arms.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? The strange thing about me working out, like, to be honest with you, like, I was really doing some shit I wasn't supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I was moving in such a way where mentally I was kind of like, I guess I could say in the back of my mind, getting cell block ready. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was part of my motivation.
You felt like that's where you was headed to?
Yep, at the time. You know what I'm saying? Because I still, you know, I always was able to have a duality. I was always able to, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To, like, I was making money in music, but I was moving in the street too. And, you know, sometimes when you get money and it becomes so easy, you feel like, oh yeah, they watching me. They just letting me just dig my ditch. You know what I'm saying? And I felt like it was right around the corner, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I just, you know, I literally just start, you know, that's why I start buying real estate. I start kind of like mentally preparing myself, thinking that, you know, shit, that other shoe gonna drop, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's how that came about.
So you start doing, let's go back. We gonna go back into the rap Bitcoin.
Yeah, for sure.
How you bumping the Master P?
Man, that story crazy, bro. Like, you know, I'm in Kansas City. I didn't even know who P was. You know what I'm saying? Like, this dude, Romeo Rynell, used to cut my hair, even as a kid, you know, and he used to bring like regional talent to the city. Mm-hmm. And I remember him telling me, man, I'm gonna bring this dude named Master P. I was like, who the hell is Master P? I don't know. I ain't never heard of that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so long story short, me and a partner of mine, Cisco, we was part of a group, you know what I'm saying, called CCG. So we was local at the time, and I'm like 15, 16. And really, to be honest with you, man, I just started sending tapes out. I started looking at all the addresses on the back of the tapes. I sent shit to Ruthless. Man, I used to bug the shit out of Ruthless. It was this chick up there named Cassandra Ware. You know who she is, James? Y'all know who she is?
You remember her name?
Yeah, because, man, I got to know that chick. I used to call so much. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, hey, I sent some shit to you, and I think your attorney back then. You
probably know what I mean?
Yeah, this is when you dropped the album where you had on the slacks and the shirt.
Last Man Standing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I'm in Kansas City. You know, I grew up on all these guys, so I'm just trying to get on. We don't got no industry. Ain't no internet. Ain't no information. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Strange wasn't around back then. Nah, Strange wasn't crazy.
Nah, Strange wasn't even thought of. You know what I mean? You talking about 94, 95. So Ruthless is where I wanted to go. So I used to call all the time trying to get in touch with Easy. Finally, Easy got the tape, and she was like, yeah, Easy like y'all tape, whatever, whatever. He died, I think, was it March 95, something like that. So then I got back on the hunt and just bugged the shit out of P, bro. I just was calling his voicemail, just filling it up. I was on Rap-A-Lot, all them. So he the one that went and got the tape. He liked it. He was like, man, you know, I want to fuck with y'all. I want to fly y'all out. So the first record he put us on was Down South Hustlers, which went gold. You know what I mean? And then, shit, it was on from there.
So it was just cracking from there.
Yeah, I just got off house arrest. I was living with my father at the time because I had been in juvenile. And, you know, juvenile court, at least in Missouri, it worked kind of like family court because I didn't get certified. They was going to certify me and give me what they call juvenile life and then keep me till I was like 18. I think it was 18 or 21 to send me to prison. But I ended up lucking out. They took me from my mom, made me live with my dad. So I had just, you know, because my lawyer was like, you know, he got a father, got a job. You know, he played that game. And so, yeah, shit. You know what I mean?
You got lucky.
I got super lucky.
Yeah, we could go.
I got super lucky, bro.
Back, and I know a lot of people out there, they think about Missouri, but Missouri is one of the cities in the Midwest that got like a lot of old LA gangs in the city.
Absolutely.
Like they got Bloods out there, they got Crips out there, and they've been doing it since the 80s.
Yeah, you know I watched it. I literally watched it come into the city because, you know, I was born in 76. So you figure, you know, 80, 86, 87, 88, you know, I'm a kid on my bike. You know what I'm saying? I'm just a regular kid. I ain't exposed to nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up in the hood, but I came from a good household. You know what I'm saying? I'm an only child. So I came from a loving house. Like, I don't have, you know what I mean? Like, but what happened is you start seeing the influx of a lot of niggas from the West Coast, you know, coming to the city. And, they, you know what I mean? They hustling. And so a lot of the niggas from my city whoever they was copping from, that's who they aligned themselves with. It was a lot of 60s and a lot of East Coast that came down there. And my neighborhood, you know, got colonized, I guess you could say. It became a Crip neighborhood. Like where Tech is from, Tech Nine, he from the 50s. A lot of Brims came, you know what I'm saying, to his section. So all the niggas that was getting their work from them became Bloods, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's kind of how I watched it, you know what I mean? And so now the older niggas that's getting money, you know, I'm having to deal with their little brothers because their little brothers trying to emulate them. You know what I'm saying? So now my hood, so what happens is I start to become sucked into it, you know what I mean? Just because the environment starts to become hostile. I was never like active, you know, but because you grow up there, you get sucked in, you know what I mean? So I'm with the homies. Shit, a couple of my homies might be fighting on Crip or whatever, but I'm just fighting because they my friends. But it don't look like that, you know what I'm saying, when it's like that.
Oh, guilty by association.
Yeah. You know,
you
so. Bang,
you fighting with them niggas, then you from they set.
Exactly. Might as well be. Exactly. But you got a good, you come from a good home.
I did.
You didn't have to do that.
I didn't.
But
I didn't.
You had to go outside.
But I had to go outside. That's the only it's the environment. Point. Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I want people to understand.
Yes. Yes.
When you had go to outside. Go outside.
I had to go outside.
So outside took over.
Mom exactly. and daddy can't protect you outside
right.
on
absolutely
them blocks.
Not. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm going to the park to play basketball, play football, and just in the environment, I have to maintain out there. You know, now my mother was loving, but, you know, my mother used to tell me I ain't raising no pussies. So, you know, I still had to, you know, she
you
like.
You had
no,
to go out there and shunkle, man. That's
she
the
made
thing.
Me line it up a few times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So she wasn't having that. But I literally watched our city, you know, and it got bad probably about the early.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
90s, you know what I'm saying? It really took.
Well, it was off the chain down there. I know. Yeah, it was off the chain down there.
And it was a lot of money. It was, you know, everybody was getting it back then. You know what I'm saying?
You know, shout out to my boy. You know, Money Green, Snug Brim. I know some cats out there. Rodney Money Green.
Snug Brim was on the red side.
He's red side. Yeah, Snug Brim. You know, he was over there with Tech and them some good cats though.
Yeah, them was all. Yeah, they real dudes. You know what I'm saying? They great dudes. And Rodney was a hustler. He didn't, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't with that, but he was getting money a long time.
Oh, yeah, Rodney was getting money a long time. That was my boy, man, my hustling homeboy, man, from Kansas City, Missouri. Rodney Money Green.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool dude. Rodney Money Green.
Yeah, that's
my boy right there, Rodney Green.
Shout out to Rodney, yeah.
Yeah, that's my dude right there.
I just seen Rodney probably about a year ago. I was looking at matter of fact, because he does real estate as well. And we was both bidding on the same house. It was like 300-something thousand. He was trying to get it, I think, just to do something with it or whatever.
That's him?
Yeah.
We gonna get off into your real estate, man. All this magnificent stuff that you're doing, but we stand back. We gonna have to stay in the gutter for it just a little bit longer, you know what I mean? Because I want to take it up.
Yeah, for sure.
So you on your grind, man. You sending, you know what, man? That's funny. We did used to send tapes, our demos to record company addresses on the back of shit back in the day. You know what I mean? Yeah. Trying to get some money.
Yeah.
But so you plug up with P. Mm-hmm. Did your whole life change after that? Like, what happened next? Like, what did he do?
No, not really. Not like that. So my situation with P was unique, bro, because, like, I signed with P. We did the Down South Hustlers. Mm-hmm. I was a part of a duo. So me and P, we established a relationship before we actually got to Oakland. I had been talking to him for months. Mm-hmm. My partner had never talked to him. So they was kind of like, you know what I'm saying, strangers when we met for the first time. Him and my partner really didn't like each other. You know what I mean? And so we had a manager at the time who he didn't know shit, but he knew more than us. He was a little older than us. Mm-hmm. And so my partner kind of, you know, gravitated toward the manager. I really didn't like him either. You know what I'm saying? I gravitated toward P. So there was this kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, y'all are group. Y'all got
little
a
bullshit
beef.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So P literally came and got me one day and was like, "Bruh, check this out. I fuck with you, but I don't like them other niggas. So, you know what I'm saying? What you want to do? But you got to understand, you know, I come from a gang mentality too. So I was like, well, damn, big bro, respectfully, you know, shit, you got to take both of us. You know, I came out here with him, so I'm going to leave with him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that's what it was. You know, I end up going back to Kansas City with my partner. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But me and P always kept a relationship. So what he did that was solid is I created a label and I started putting out independent records. What P did, he used his influence to basically, you know, I say influence, you know what I'm saying, to basically make, like, the distributors, Southwest, City Hall, you know, all that shit, Selecto, to pay me up front for whatever I got pressed up. So if I got 50,000 units pressed up, which I did, they paid me $7 up front, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like 18, 19.
Getting, man, that's better than the record deal right there. Exactly, that's some shit.
Exactly. So I'm getting $300,000-$400,000. You know what I'm saying? Off a record. That's why I was putting them out so much. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, that shit came back to bite me because nobody explained taxes and shit to me. But you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking all that shit mine. You know what I mean?
Was your partner still rocking with you at the time?
Yeah, he was. Up until probably the early 2000s. You know what I'm saying? He kind of, you know, started wanting to go in a different direction in life. And, you know, and I kept it moving as a solo artist. You know, but me and P always was like brothers. You know what I'm saying? So my journey was different, you know what I'm saying, with No Limit, even though I was always synonymous with No Limit, but I never technically put a record out on No Limit.
Yeah, but it was a whole bunch of people. Yeah. You ain't the only one that didn't put a record out there. But I noticed P always messed with you on a business side. I thought she was an executive over there.
Yeah,
first, dog.
For sure. Exactly.
I thought she was an executive.
Cause we did a lot of other shit. You know what I'm saying? Like music, it was just like, he'd be like, "Court, man, go, you know what I'm saying? You don't need to do all that. Go ahead and go get your money over there." You know what I mean? It just worked. And I was always kind of, you know what I mean, my own boss and autonomous like that. You know what I'm saying? I kind of moved to the beat of my own drum, even way back then. You know, now don't get me wrong, he always was big bro. I deferred to him, you know, like a big homie, like an OG, like a mogul, but I always had my own shit, you know what I mean? And I think that's why our relationship was always what it's been.
So he ain't no bad dude.
Who, P?
Yeah.
Not at all. You heard something different?
Well, a lot of people say he this, he cheat, he didn't this, he did. He didn't give me what I deserved, shit like that. But you hear that with everybody.
You're going to hear that all the time. Business. You know what? This is the thing about that, bro. I speak on that a little bit. And I mean, listen, I can't speak for nobody because everybody had their own experience. But I kind of know, you know, how P got down. Technically, if you think about it, what P would do is, man, he would give you lump sum. Okay, say, let's just be 100. A lot of the rappers that came on No Limit, the brand No Limit was selling that shit. These people didn't have track records. They weren't, some of them wasn't even real artists necessarily. They just right. niggas in the hood that rap.
Right.
He like, okay, I know you. Nigga, you want to rap? Okay, come on. Because No Limit, the brand is hot right now. We put that tank on anything, it's going to sell.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you a nigga, you ain't never put a demo together. You just rapping in the hood. So he take you and say, all right, here, I'm going to give you $500,000, buy you a $500,000 house. You know what I'm saying? Set you up with a few cars. You okay? You good. You know what I'm saying? You can get out there, get your show money, go charge niggas for verses, all that shit, right? So he maybe spent, say, $1 million, $1.5 million on you. You know what I'm saying? Say your album go gold. You do the numbers. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So your album go gold, what's that? Maybe $3.5 million or so that mm-hmm. was generated. Mm-hmm. But you know how they recoup. You talk about the recoup shit.
Yeah, so if he was recoup nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
You're
exactly.
Not. You have to be. You have to know how to. First of all, you're dumb as fuck if you get $500,000 and go buy $500,000 house. Don't go do that shit because you're not gonna recoup anything.
No, but this eight. But think about no. He gave that to them.
Okay, and they should know. I don't right. want that shit.
No,
because
but.
You give me $500,000 house, I got to pay the mortgage on this motherfucker. I got to pay the taxes on the property. Okay, so you ain't never getting no royalties.
Yeah, technically.
You ain't never getting no royalties.
Right. It could go like that. But then think about it, eight. Opposed to him giving, you know what I'm saying, seven, you know, say 21 cent, you know, 50 cent. You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying? Because if he paid your album do $500,000. And he giving you 50 cents.
So he was pretty much doing non-traditional deals, but.
But no, let's do the numbers though. If he give you 50 cent a record and you go gold, what is he supposed to get you? What is the math on that? What's that, 250,000?
Yeah, like 250,000.
That's 250,000. So if he didn't basically invested $1 million in you, he paid you, you see what I'm saying?
800 some
thousand
yeah.
more than what you would have got if he said, you know what, I'm gonna do you like the white man do you. You know what I'm saying? Here you go. You're gonna get your 7 points. You know what I'm saying? And here you go. And then you wait for this money to come in. Wait for us to recoup and all that shit. So, you see, it's pros and cons to it.
It's still not a good deal, man. Because at the end of the day, yeah, you got to – how you going to pay for that shit? You're not finna be that rapping nigga forever.
Well,
you're not getting them shows. You're not – you already see it. You're not talented. You're not talented.
Not for
so, okay, you take the house. You take that. Oh, so you go. So you got to remain the hustler,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you got $1 million. You got $500,000 house. Mm-hmm. You got two cars in your driveway, totaling $500,000. Now you got $1 million tag. Now you go. How am I supposed to maintain this shit when I can't get a fucking show?
No, you. That's what you do. Why you hot? To get your ass out on tour. You
most of them niggas was not hot, and
no,
you
that's
know
on
it.
Him, but see, but this is on. No, they hot if they got a gold record. You know what I'm saying? If you got a gold record, there's somebody somewhere buying your shit, and it's niggas that'll give you when you go in them seats.
We know the game. A right. lot of that shit is not selling. A lot of that shit was being bought by the own companies. You said a lot of that shit, like you said, the name was selling that shit.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of those artists, like I said, I was gonna sign the No Limit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A lot of those artists, like you said, the name was selling them.
For sure.
And at a time when the name was done,
mm-hmm.
what happened to a lot of artists on No Limit?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
for sure.
So now I'm stuck. Mm-hmm. With $1 million fucking house.
That's paid for that you can sell.
But ain't it different if it would be different if MC8 signed with No Limit? And just think what he would have did up front with you because you're MCA.
Yeah, right? But like you said, in the long run, that house is going to be sold. Them cars is going to be sold.
But then, but though, playing devil's advocate, though, bro, if he had did a traditional deal, you would got less.
Yeah, because if you were smart enough, you wouldn't take a traditional deal. But some artists, as the beginning artist, you got to take.
Yeah, because the thing about it, like I said, you got a nigga right off the street. What kind of leverage do we have?
They're like, really nothing.
Exactly. So
it don't sound like he was unfair at all.
No. So ultimately, what I'm saying. Ultimately, what I'm saying is no. I mean, listen, I can't speak for everybody, but P is a giving dude. Like he gave freely. You know what I'm saying? And actually, it's a lot of times where I would tell him, nigga, I wouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? I think you're being too nice. You know what I mean? But, but you can't please everybody in this business. You know how
for sure. Goes. And the thing is, like A said, though, when you got a dude that ain't really talented, that don't know the business, all he know is he got this house and these two cars. In his mind, he think he really done did some shit. But,
but that's it could have been.
Y'all ain't looking at it at the beginning part, though.
Responsibility.
Master P would go in the hood. Oh, you rap? Come on. And now he done laid this on the table for somebody in the hood.
So, dog, you got to think, just like with Puffy, right? Just like with Diddy, and I think rest in peace to, was it Black Rob that just passed away?
Yeah.
You know, people was like, no disrespect, but dude is grown. So just because he worked for Puffy and was signed to Puffy 25 years ago, he's still supposed to be responsible for him? You know what I'm saying? Like, this a grown-ass man. You know what I'm saying? So at some point, where's the accountability?
You know what, though?
Artist?
That's the internet, man. Don't nothing make sense on the internet.
No, but
them is a bunch of niggas out there that just know everything.
Well, this is what I'm saying. But I'm kind of saying even to H's point, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, if a nigga give you, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's like in the hood. If a nigga throw you a couple, you know what I'm saying, whatever, and tell you, okay, run with the ball. You ain't even got to pay me nothing back. Like, you know what I'm saying? So now if you fumble the rock, you know, when you fall on your ass, so it's his fault? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, but that's how the, like you said, we talking about people, man, that don't have no place in the music business sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't got no place. That's what you're talking about. Them people will always be, even though they got more than what they were supposed to get technically, they got a shot. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Because it was some people that came off of No Limits that had pretty cool careers.
It's viable artists. You know, a lot of viable artists that came from No Limits.
I think y'all being slick and trying to say that's Death Row or something. It was a lot of, and I ain't going to say people, I'm going to say us on Death Row that shouldn't have been in the music business. But we wasn't on the music part of it. We was on the other end of it.
Oh, no.
But it's all still the same
thing. I wasn't
thing.
Talking about the, I'm talking about a person that's a rapper. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, Suge didn't have you over there trying to make rap records. You know what I'm saying? That's a whole different thing. You know, when you get put somebody in the realm of being an artist, that's different than executive. You can show somebody how to be an executive. You can get a homie and tell him how to do this. But when you take that same homie and turn him into an artist, now, man, you bring raps and he mess around and get off with it.
Yeah.
That's a whole different little scenario right there. You can kind of get, you know what I'm saying, convoluted a little bit because they don't understand it. But you can take it. I wasn't talking about the, the thing. It's two different things.
The thing about me, bro, is like, I don't know, bro, the way I was raised, like, accountability. You know what I'm saying? I don't never make excuses for shit that happened good. You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody give me an opportunity, you know what I mean? It's up to me to educate myself and to further that opportunity. You
and
know
if
what
we
mean?
Can talk about opportunities, let's go into that. So. Mm-hmm. You meet Pete, man. Y'all got this chemistry that y'all done built up, man. Mm-hmm. And I assume through your relationship with him, you start making a gang of connections.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first thing that when you went into the real estate thing, what was the first thing you went into?
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Yeah, real estate, again, going back to that, you know what I'm saying? Still having a, you know what I'm saying, a foot in the street, you know what I mean? I start buying real estate just because I start seeing a lot of the old heads in my that was getting money in my city. They was doing that. They was buying houses and fixing them up. So I thought in my mind, like, okay, if I buy a house and I fix it up, you know what I'm saying, if I go to jail, then it could be something that, you know, I could leverage to get out or something, you know what I mean? So that's why, I bought my first house when I was 19, you know what I mean? And
was that in Kansas City?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I noticed, though, back in the Midwest, it's easier to get a house,
yeah,
almost. You know,
yeah,
you can,
yeah,
go buy
it's
a house
way cheaper than this.
You can go buy a house for $15,000, $20,000.
That's what I did. My first house, I paid like $21,000 for it. I put like another $15,000 into it. This is what I thought, right? Because, I mean, I'm past that point in my life. But it was weed. I was moving big weed back then. I was going to El Paso, but that's a whole other story. But so I bought a house. I paid $21,000 for it, put another $15,000 into it, you know what I mean? And I was standing outside the house thinking to myself, like, damn, how am I gonna get my money back? You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, shit, if I, because I'm renting it for like $600 a month, because that's the cost of living there, you know what I mean? And I'm like, damn, I'm gonna be all fucking year, you know, years getting my money. And then it dawned on me, like, oh, this shit like weed, you don't make a lot of money off of it, but it's volume. You know, because that's what I understood at the time. So I was like, shit, I need to get 10 of these. You know, so then if I get 10 of these, now I got about 6,000-7,000 coming in a month. You know what I mean? I knew nothing about equity. I didn't know no type of language of real estate or no shit. I just knew buy this cost. I didn't know none of that, right? Appraisal, what the fuck is that? You know what I mean? So by the time I hit 21, I had like 12 properties. You know what I mean? And I was just chasing that monthly rent, you know what I mean? Try to get that shit and try to hurry up before this looming jail thing I thought was coming, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember my brother had introduced me to this lady at a credit union down there. And she was just impressed by me. I didn't understand why. You know, she was like, so you got that many properties free and clear? I'm like, yeah, you know what I mean? But when you get money like that, it's like, I ain't mean. She was like, you know how much equity you got? I was like, I don't even know what that is, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so anyway, she showed me how to basically leverage, you know, what I had, my portfolio. And probably in about a couple months, she had got me like a $700,000 line of credit over that shit, which means I had access to $700,000 to do whatever I wanted to do. I'm like 21, you know what I'm saying? And then I'm getting money from the records. I'm getting money. You know what I'm saying? So I was moving back then, you know what I mean? And that's what opened my mind to start thinking outside the box on a lot of shit, you know what I'm saying? And then I started doing shit in Atlanta. I had a business in Atlanta too. So yeah, I started really spreading my wings, you know what I'm saying, entrepreneurial, you know, wise.
So you kind of start gravitating more towards that in the music. I assume once you started
doing the music. Yeah, I was still doing the music. That I was doing everything. Cause you gotta think that's what P modeled for me. you know, to have these multiple revenue streams. You know, that's the thing I learned from Pete was work ethic. You know what I'm saying? Like, he never just had one thing. Think about it. When No Limit was at his peak, he had toys, he had shoes, he had speakers, he had all kind of shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's what was modeled for me. So that's what I, you know, that's what I emulated mm-hmm. in my own way. You know, so I had the records. I had a business in Atlanta. I had real estate in Atlanta. I had the properties. And again, I'm like 21. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you just kept the party. You just kept the party going with the real estate then.
Yeah.
And then eventually started getting this. See, this is my whole thing with real estate, right? It's a slow grind, like you said at first. You get a house, you know what I'm saying? You charging $1,000 for rent. Your mortgage might be $950 a month or whatever
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, and that's here though. Yeah. That's here, yeah.
But no, not you can't get no shit.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like this is not a cash flow type state because it's so expensive. So
yeah, that's
like,
what I was saying. California is hard, so I'm just telling the listeners out there, you everybody not gonna have the same success that he had because the Midwest some different shit.
Yeah, you got to do it in the South and Midwest.
Yeah, because you can go to like I'll take you some shit now in Ohio. You can go get a house for $5,000.
Yeah,
you had to put a lot of shit into it to make it be a land with a foundation on it.
Because this the thing, still when I. So when I did that, I moved out here when I was 23, you know what I'm saying? And I moved to Brentwood, you know what I mean? Right there on Barrington and Sunset. And it was a culture shock for me, you know what I mean? Because I'm like, the rent over there, I was paying like $4,000 a month for a two-bedroom, you know what I mean? I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I just came from a townhouse, you know what I'm saying, with three floors and six bedrooms and shit. And I was paying $1,500, you know, in Kansas City. Yeah. You know, but it was a trip because when I went to go buy my first house, I was looking in Brentwood and I ain't gonna lie, I couldn't afford it. You know what I'm saying? That shit in Brentwood was like $4-5 million for a teardown. So I ended up moving to Encino and I tripped on that because the first house I bought in Encino was like $1 million. You know what I mean? And I was like, fuck, like shit, 20 of my properties in Kansas City is this one house. You know what I mean? So it's like the cost of living I had to adjust to, you know what I'm saying, coming out here. And then that's when I seen that I can't do that real estate shit out here. Out here, this is a flipping city. You know what I mean? You just buy low, get a good deal, and then flip that shit.
Yeah, that's what I was going back to. I said, man, it's a little bit easier, you know what I'm saying, than other states and shit, but this shit's so expensive out here, man.
It's super expensive out here, bro, you know. And then that's when I started getting into producing movies and shit like that. Then I started, you know what I mean, using my money to do that.
Oh, for sure. So you jumped all the way in the movie game. What's some of the projects you on did?
Shit, the first movie I did, I spent like $300,000 of my own money. It was a movie I did with me and Cat Williams and Lawrence Hill Jacobs called Young American Gangsters. And I that was just some shit I just tried. I moved out here and I started like auditioning for shit, you know what I mean? I started doing a bunch of independent movies and just kind of learning what they do and how they do what they do and asking questions and shit. And then once I started learning more, I was like, shit, I can do this shit. I got the money to do this shit.
So you just put up your own 300 stacks.
Put
and
up
just
my
said,
own
fuck
three,
it, man.
Man, listen, dog, I'm young. You know what I'm saying? Dumb. I didn't even have an exit strategy. You know what I'm saying? I just was like, fuck it, I'm going to do it. You know?
How did that work out?
It worked out barely. So I end up, my co-producer Ken that came with me, he took me to Cannes, to France, to Nice, to the Cannes Film Festival. So I flew way over there to get distribution for my movie. And I got distribution with a company literally around the corner from my house.
That's crazy. You, so you flew to France?
I flew all the way
to France. To go some niggas that's around the corner from you.
Yeah, I got fucked on that movie too because, you know, I was, you know, I thought like a drug dealer. You know what I'm saying? So they gave me a little bit over what I spent on it and I'm thinking, okay, I'm finna go do another one. You know what I'm saying? Man, and people probably made $3-5 million off that movie.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But that's the thing, man. I learned. That's why you got to educate yourself to what you're doing. And I was chasing money because I had a, you know, drug dealer mentality. But that's what I learned. Like, you got to do shit that you love and shit that you move with purpose. You know what I'm saying? Because anytime you chasing money, you're going to fail at the shit. You know, chasing money only applies in the street because that's all it is. But when you start wanting to build things and get into things, you got to really love what you're doing because you're going to put in the time to master it and it'll be successful.
Exactly.
So it was kind of a failure, but at the same time, it was a lesson, you know. So
you got your money. You got your money back. That could have went a lot worse. Yeah. You could have not got your bread back.
I wasn't even tripping. That's that, but I was getting it like that. I wasn't even tripping. That 300 wasn't nothing at the time. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, because I was literally in my living room watching myself. Like, you know, I'm feeling myself. Like, yeah, me and Kat on. Then it dawned on me, like, boy, how you gonna get your money out of this? I had no idea. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. None. And, you know, that's why you got to study what it is you're trying to do. Educate yourself.
So, you know, you made them mistakes that were, you know, them early on mistakes.
I made a lot of them. Yeah.
You know, what was the first move you made outside of the real estate that was like pretty much that home run? You was like, okay, I get it. Now this was cracking.
Man, that's a good question, Steele. I don't know that I necessarily had one, to be very honest. I think I just start knowing how to move different and more efficient with what I was doing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I've made money. Money come and go. But I think, yeah, it's just learning how to. I always say you live life long enough, it'll teach you how to live. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's just learning and paying attention to the lessons and the failures that I had. You know what I'm saying? And doing better. Just doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, me and James was talking about that earlier. And I was telling him, I said, man, whenever I would hit a lick on somebody and get that money, it seemed like that money would just go like fast, like it would almost like disappear in your pockets, kind of.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it don't have no value. But right, if I went to work for my uncle or something, and he built houses back then, if I went to work for him in the summer for a week to get them $100 for them school clothes or whatever,
yeah,
it seemed like I held on to that money. I might not buy them Levi's. I can't get no T-shirt. I gotta, you know, we gotta go to Kmart.
Yeah, you appreciate it.
You know what I'm saying? You appreciate it a little bit more. And I think it's the same thing, like you said, you had the drug dealer mentality. You just used to just hitting them.
But you know what? I worked hard for that shit. I don't know who said that hustling was easy, because it wasn't. And not how I was doing it. You know, it was a lot of logistics and shit and headache and stress that went with it. You know what I mean?
For sure. But,
so it wasn't easy by any, you know. And then, again, I had other businesses that I was running. Even with the real estate, I created, just by default, I had created a property management company because I had all those properties. And because I had moved to L.A., and, you know, I would meet different investors that also had properties in my city. And they would ask me, like, man, you got an air conditioner dude? Man, you got a plumber? You know, so it dawned on me, like, oh, shit, I'm from there. So I have a network there. So I, you know, I got a couple chicks and I created a property management company, which, you know, that company, even now to this day, you know, we manage like $15 million worth of assets. And that was just me on some hustle shit. I just seen an opportunity, like, oh, shit, you ain't got an air conditioner, dude? Oh, you don't either? How many properties you got? You got 40. Yeah, don't worry about it. I got an air conditioner, dude. Yeah, I was lying at first. Like, yeah, man, I got a whole company. We got people that'll handle that for you. Mm-hmm. So at some point, I had to structure it correctly. But, you know, it's just, you know, like P would always say, man, to start a good business, you know, you find a problem. You know what I'm saying? And then you present the solution. So, you know, that was just by chance, you know. So that's another thing that I had got into. But, man, it's just paying attention to the opportunity, man. And not being scared to try some shit. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't never been scared to put up my own money or try something or fail. You know what I mean? That's just part of the process.
Yeah, you got to be willing to take. You got to be willing to take risk. And you a dude, man, pretty much that come from the same environment as a lot of us, you know, so it could have went either way.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it could have went either way, because Kansas City is a motherfucker, dog. Kansas City got some shit going on out there.
Yeah, bro, I wasn't that good. I mean, I don't take the credit like that, you know what I'm saying? I had a lot of people praying for me, to be honest with you. You know, I wasn't that, you know what I'm saying? Like, just super smart and just super, you know what I mean? I mean, I did everything I could to try to make it, but, you know, there's a lot of people praying for me, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Honestly. And then too, you know, my old lady, man, you know, that I think having a good woman in your corner, you know what I'm saying, and keeps you grounded and kind of balances you off, that had a lot to do with it too, you know what I mean? Because she, you know, I had kids early. You know, like I said, my daughter, 28. You know, I had my daughter when I was 16, you know what I mean? So I kind of had to step up to the plate early in life. You know, I went to jail at 15, then I got a child at 16. So while I'm doing all of that, even with P and real estate, I got a whole fucking family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you had to make some shit shake.
Yeah, and behind closed doors, I'm working on being a man. You know what I'm saying? I may have seemed poised and all of that shit, but behind closed doors, nigga, I'm trying to figure it out. Because I didn't grow up with my father. the state made me go live with my father. I hadn't had a relationship with him really up to that point. So we like two niggas just living in the house. You know what I'm saying?
So when did you figure out you was a man? Because I tell everybody I didn't figure out I was a man until I was in my 50s. 50, 47.
I'm going to tell you, I know exactly, James. That's a good question. I'll tell you exactly when I knew. I had moved to L.A. I had went back to Kansas City one time. I was with my brother who does real estate. He the one that actually kind of taught me. And mind you, I'm my only child. It's my half-brother. I didn't meet him until I was like 15, 16. So now he a square dude, you know what I mean? I was on his porch of one of his properties, and somebody broke into it. He was passing his cards out to the neighbors. And so he's a square dude. He was just like, hey, if y'all see somebody messing with the property, call the police or call me. The dude, so there's a dude next door, some young niggas. This nigga, I'm on the porch literally like, man, I'm thinking to myself, man, my brother need to hurry up. I gotta go. Nigga next door literally looks at me and says, nigga, what the fuck you looking at? I looked over my shoulder like, who you talking to? He was like, nigga, y'all think somebody broke in your shit? Nigga, ain't nobody. He just started tripping. So, you know, I got my thing on me, you know what I mean? So I hop off the porch and I go walk up on him. I said, little nigga, who the fuck you talking to? You know? And he was like, nah, I'm just saying, y'all woo, 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 woo. So at that moment, I said, listen, bro. I said, man, my brother owns a insurance company. Like, he not tripping like that. And I said, and dog, you hear your mama right here, your family right here? Like, you don't know what I'm on. And I'm saying that to say, I start kind of chastising him respectfully. And I didn't respond how I would have responded years earlier. Because I didn't care that if he thought I was a bitch-ass nigga, hoe-ass nigga. I didn't even care about that because... So after I told him, I raised up my shirt and said, bro, you're not even doing it right. Like, you trying to be tough and shit? Like, you don't even know who you talking to. I raised up my shirt and showed him, you know, like, nigga, you out here just being tough. You know what I mean? And I told him, I said, dog, you know, the cemetery full of tough niggas. You know what I'm saying? The penitentiary full of tough niggas, too. They had to show them niggas what time it was. So it's a lose-lose situation. But he act like he never been talked to like that before. He apologized. Gave me, you know, dap and said, man, my bad, big homie boy. You know how it is out here. So when I walked away from that situation, I said, damn. I said, I finally grew up.
Grew up. Right.
I finally grew up. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't care. Rather, he thought I was a whole ass nigga. I didn't care whether he thought. I told him that. I said, dog, I don't care if you say I'm a bitch or whatever you're going to say about me. Dog, you know what I'm saying? I don't have no problem with you. This is just a misunderstanding, you know. And I say that. I was about 25, 26, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's when I hit adulthood right then. Even though I had an old lady, kids and all that shit, you know, my mentality, you know, shit, sometimes, even now, you know what I mean? You may kind of digress a bit, you know what I'm saying, with certain situations.
Yeah, I think we all don't have them nigga moments as adults, that we don't have them meltdowns and shit.
Yeah.
And the motherfucker press your button and start acting out on the motherfucker and shit.
Yeah.
You know, so would you say, man, because it seemed like you had a plan, right? And it don't go like that for everybody, because I think for every former D-boy, man, they very seldom get to actually become who they are supposed to be.
Yeah, right.
Because I know most of them is like, every drug dealer I ever knew was actually some of the best business people I've ever seen. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I ain't going to put none of my homies, but it's an executive out there now that's killing it, and I know for sure he was, you know what I'm saying, doing his thing. Some of them make the best businessmen, but a lot of them don't get that chance, that opportunity. Like you said, man, you know, a lot of people, man, I think when people go, when they're about to get cracked, I think they know.
Yeah.
When my brother-in-law was about to get cracked, he knew. We thought he was losing his mind. You know, I think everybody knows, so you might not have been going crazy.
You know what? I think, man, it was somebody telling on me at a point, because when I would come back from Kansas City, or really from anywhere in the Midwest, when I would come through LAX, dog, them people would always jam me up, you know what I'm saying? They called me with money a few times, you know, and I would be like, damn, I didn't know I'm coming through there. I start trying different airlines and shit. And I'm talking about when I'm leaving LAX, the plane clothes motherfuckers start coming up to me like, you know, how much money do you have on you? You know what I mean? I'm like, when that shit start, you know? So you see little signs like that. And I don't want to make it seem like I was on some, you know, I wasn't, you know, Freeway Ricky Ross or no shit like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was a weed dude. I didn't fuck with none of that other shit.
You right. Know what
I'm saying? I learned that early on because, you know, because of them crack laws and shit, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I start seeing niggas, you know, getting 15, 20 years.
Nigga, 30 for years ounce, for some shit.
For an ounce. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So niggas, you said, fuck the cocaine.
Fuck that.
Fuck cocaine. Like, that's what made a lot of niggas, though, go to the weed game instead of the D game.
Yeah.
You mean, because, man, the motherfucking laws back then wasn't no joke.
But still, motherfuckers was getting crack for that weed, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing I mean, 15,
but
10
But this
years.
The thing, though. I was operating in federal guidelines with the weed because I'm getting 400-500 pounds, you know what I'm saying? But even still, it was still different. This is Reggie shit. This is that headache seed shit too.
Right.
Hell, you know
right.
What I mean?
That stress
but
weed.
That stress shit, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But
shit, that's the number one
but
thing.
It was going back then.
Yeah,
back in them days. Yeah, that's and that's all you had in the Midwest, the 90s, man. You know no, yeah. That's all they had.
Yeah, you know, this is before mid. This is, you know, mid wasn't even a thing. Y'all had Endo and
yeah, we had Endo. We had a little tie. We got a little orange, but you go back on tour back east, nigga. You hop off that motherfucking tour bus, nigga. Sticks and stones may break your bones.
That's what they call it.
Shit popping,
nigga, popping
and shit.
God
damn,
motherfucking firecracker going off when you smoke this shit. Like, God
them
damn.
Them pines have a motherfucker smoking pines, for real.
Hey, but
like you
it.
Said, I going back then,
yeah.
Nigga pounded, that shit was going for $1,000.
Yeah. I mean, because what it was back then, I mean, it's old shit, but like, I paid $200, $225
mm-hmm.
in El Paso, and I come back home $650, you know what I'm saying? $600 if a nigga mm-hmm. wanted to just cash out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and,
it was lovely times,
I ran very quietly. I was never, you know, a super, but see, like I said, man, it's just God because I was a rapper. So people knew me as that. You know what I'm saying? So you really couldn't tell the difference. Only people I dealt with. And I'll be honest with you. And you know, I don't want to, like, give no advice or nothing like that. But I didn't deal with everybody. I didn't deal with niggas that I felt like that was on stage.
Hey, hold up, fellas. I want to talk to our listeners about this new multivitamin that I've been on, Ritual. Now, let me tell y'all, we deserve to know what we're putting in our bodies and why. Especially when it comes to taking something we go be taking every day. Ritual's clean, vegan-friendly multivitamin is formulated with high-quality nutrients and bioavailable forms your body can actually use. What you won't find, sugars, GMOs, major allergens, synthetic fillers, and artificial colorants. Plus, the fresh taste and delayed-release capsule design makes taking your multivitamin easy. I got on Ritual because I noticed I wasn't eating the way I was supposed to, and I still don't eat the way I was supposed to. I don't eat the traditional three meals a day. So I love Ritual because what it does, it helps to fill gaps in the diet, you know, with no shady extras. Ritual's delayed-release capsule design delivers high-quality nutrients, including vitamin D3 in just 2 daily pills. You know, and Ritual is made traceable. You will always know what nutrients you're taking and where they come from thanks to Ritual's one-of-a-kind visible supply chain. Now, that's something else right there, but this is what I got for you guys. Get key nutrients without the BS. Ritual is offering all the Gangsta Chronicle listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/GC101 to start your Ritual today.
I didn't deal with niggas I felt like didn't have nothing to lose. You know what I'm saying? And niggas that do anything for money. I didn't deal with them. Mm. I dealt with niggas that had businesses, niggas that worked every day but still did their thing. And they mm-hmm. was trying to just, you know, get by. I didn't deal with, like, trapping type niggas.
Yeah, weed is a whole different clientele,
yeah, it
man.
Is.
Cause
I
sold both, and I tell you, I prefer the weed customer to the crack customer.
Well, yeah. Crack customer, you ain't no telling how that motherfucker going.
Man, yeah,
that
what I'm saying.
That motherfucker about to stick your ass for a piece right quick.
It's like you know, cause the weed, cause I live next door to a whole bunch of people that went to Long Beach State.
Yeah.
And so I'd be able to go get an ounce of red hair sets for 30, 40 bucks, man, from Ontario. I'll drive out to Ontario, go get me 2 or 3 ounces of red hair sets and just come home and bag up.
Yeah.
And be sold out, dude, and just made my money that way. And it was just a way easier time. When I got into the crack shit, dog, it feel like the devil sitting on your chest, man. It's like it's a crazy ass motherfucking It's just real. It's a fucked up vibe. You know what I mean?
You know, crack touched my family like I'm sure it did.
Everybody.
You know, like everybody. You know what I'm saying? And I just didn't see. I knew niggas that was making money in it. You know what I'm saying? And you know, I knew niggas doing, you know, 4.5s, 9s, 18s. Everybody tried to front like they was the
man. But the niggas man. Was doing, like you said, yeah, niggas you know was doing 4.5, you know 9 ounces and shit.
I just
wasn't
never,
doing no more.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that shit go a long way in the hood where you could buy some Daytons. You know what I'm saying? Get your shit together. Yeah. You look, you know, get a chain, some clothes. But, you know, I seen too many niggas, man, you know, get that time. And I was like, it's not worth it. An ounce, $1,000 back then, $800. And I'm like, bruh, you know, 10 years for a 16, bruh. You know, I'm like, huh? You know, so I, yeah, the weed thing, you know, that was what that was. And I got a homeboy right now, man, Rat, you know, Chevelle Foy. Shit, they gave him 30 years. I actually have a documentary that I'm producing called Ghost Dope. Based on that, because, you know, like, he got 30 years. I went to high school with him. Good dude. You know what I'm saying? He ain't tell on nobody or nothing. They gave him 30 years for, they didn't catch him with a grain of salt. And, you know, that's how they get us with the conspiracy laws. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, if enough niggas say you did it, then you did it.
Oh, they don't got to catch you with nothing. If me, Aiden James, decide to conspire on you and say, man, I saw a key of dope in the back of his car, they can come and pick you up.
Man, 30 years of this man's life, though. You know what I'm saying? They never, and I read through the case, and they basically convicted him on, you know, they say shit like, oh, well, through our surveillance and our wiretaps, we estimate he was moving this much. Estimate? You charge a nigga with estimation? Like, you supposed to put that shit on the table. Right. You know what I mean? So, you know, that, you know, the rules change when you start getting into heroin and all, you know, and even now with meth and all that shit. You know, the game done, really. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. With technology and all that. Because even, I'm younger than y'all. But, you know, so I'm in the 90s when I jumped off the porch. But the 80s, y'all could really get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all could really get it. But, oh, man, it's too much technology, boy. Your ass,
sound like,
you know
the
what
boy we just talked about. The one in jail now.
Oh, yeah. Mac Minister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
The technology will catch your ass up.
Like technology like a motherfucker, dude.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, I got a homeboy that work on, I ain't going to say which bureau he worked for, but he work homicide. And he told me, man, they cracked the case. He said, dude, you want to hear something crazy? We cracked the case because the dude, I guess a piece of dandruff, a piece of his skin fell off, bro.
For sure. For sure.
And they was able to take that look. Like, how the hell do you find a piece of skin in a shag carpet, bro?
Hey, man.
And just in there looking at, and that nigga, he said he had the perfect crime, but a piece of, and found a piece of, and found his ass, dog. That shit's scary, dog.
Look, this the coldest one. County jail, you know you got to get swabbed.
Oh, definitely.
DNA.
Yeah, they got your shit.
That shit start pinging and panging, and they start taking motherfuckers out of their cell. Oh, we investigating this rave here, this rave here.
And this from 15 years ago,
and they booking them.
Yeah.
All because you got to get swabbed in the county jail now. Now, you can be out there raping a motherfucker once they put that shit through.
Oh, or once you get a felony. Once you become a felon here, they will swab your ass real quick.
So now they breaking motherfuckers down with it.
Oh, I've been swabbed.
That shit crazy.
Rapes. I'm talking about 5-6 rapes. You just DNA match.
Damn.
That's the coldest shit on the planet.
But this technology cold shit is a bitch too. You man. Know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, because they done swabbed the nigga like it ain't shit.
Yeah.
I done been a prisoner to my own technology, dog. And thank God by it, man. I remember one. This was probably a couple years ago. You know, I had one of the moments of, you know what I'm saying? You know, and I wanted to, it was something happening, you know what I mean? And I was about to get on some bullshit, but then you get to thinking, I was like, fuck, I got all these Ring cameras around my house, and I couldn't even think of how to delete the shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, all you gotta do is go to my house and be like, nigga, you left at 12 a.m., you know what I mean?
You'll get cut.
From your house, you know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna tell you the biggest thing, the biggest thing to get motherfuckers caught up now is this shit right here, this phone right here.
Yeah, niggas be on trial right next to their phone. Yeah.
Right in they fucking phone, dog, because this shit right here, dude, I don't care what kind of alibi you get or who you think, and motherfuckers think as they turn this motherfucker off, it could plant you right
next to their phone. Nah, it won't ping. No, I bet it's different on that one. Turn that motherfucker off, it ain't gonna ping. They can't tell where you was at. All they know is they.
I don't know, James. Because now they got the shit where the camera. Like, trust me. Like right now, this motherfucker probably taking pictures of me right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, they got it where.
Turn that motherfucker upside down, dude.
Yeah, clothes.
I know if you turn it on, they can't pin you where you at. Yeah. But a smart motherfucker, all you got to do is think. Leave your phone on. Babe, hit my phone. Call this number at a certain amount of time. And just let it just sit there.
Yeah.
Motherfucker,
spoken like a true OG.
Leave that motherfucker there alone. Go out there and do what you do, man. I was sitting at home.
Yeah, I was sitting at home.
To record what's on at this time from this time.
But this is my thing. Like, what I tell young guys, man, you know what I'm saying, especially those from my city who familiar with, you know, the run I had back then. Man, you know, listen, everybody have a good run. You got an expiration date. It just is what it is. If I still have been doing that, I'm sure at some point I'd have an issue, you know.
Oh, yeah, at some point your ass going to jail.
You know, I say, man, you know, you use that shit. You use what you learn in that. You use your resource, you know what I mean? You hustle with a plan and with a purpose, you know. I mean, every good business was founded on a good crime. You know what I'm saying? When you think, hell, the United States. You know what I'm saying? So even with prohibition and all that shit, you know what I mean? It's all founded on some bullshit. So I always tell guys, man, you got to seize your opportunity. I told a little homie of mine, you know what I'm saying? He going to see this and know who I'm talking about. But he a little partner of mine that was, he wound up being on the FBI's Most Wanted. He was on the run for 5 years. I literally told this nigga, I said, bro, you are having a wonderful run. I told him this when he was getting it, right? I mean, this nigga, I said, you having a run way past what I was doing, because this nigga bought Rolls Royces and all kind of shit. So,
on the run?
Nah.
Oh,
just when before he was getting the money, before he got it. And he was telling me, nah, cuz, just, man, it's weed. It's, I said, nigga. I said, the amount of weed that you doing, nigga, no. You gonna get it. You know what I'm saying? And they end up, you know what I'm saying, catching up with him. And he told me, he was like, man, you right, bruh. He was like, you was right, because I was telling him. I was like, bruh, you know, man, you have so much money now, you become a prisoner of your money. You can't even do shit with it. You know what I mean?
Oh,
nigga,
yeah.
You got a Rolls Royce in your sister's name? Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, right. What the fuck you doing? You know what I mean? So, you know, that's why I try to tell these young guys, man, educate yourself. You know, find something that you love. You know, you got guys that... You know, you like cars. Okay, start flipping some cars. You know, get you a little lot. You know what I mean? Whatever it is you like doing, you know what I mean? Like, you know, shit, hey, you know, you was an athlete. You enjoy football, so you coaching, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
So, you know, it's always something that you love, you know, and you're going to succeed at it. So that's what I like, because me and Pete, we travel, we talk to kids a lot, and that's always my message to them. Even some of the ones that's older, you know, they got their mind made up, you know, that's what they going to do. I'm like, dog, you know what I'm saying? You could do, you probably have skills that'll take you so much further.
Yeah, man. So I know you got to, your next step in your evolution, you don't step in the media, you got a podcast now. You got a show that you're doing now.
Yeah, for sure. Holding Court Podcast, you know what I'm saying? I did that with me and my co-producer, Ken, you know what I'm saying? Producer Ken. You know, we've been producing a lot of content. You know, I got a TV show as well called 12. That I produce, that I created with me and actress Jasmine Lewis. You know what I'm saying? We got Sticky Fingers attached to it. You know what I mean? We got Master P in it. We got Dion Cole in it. So really, I kind of been focusing on just being a media company in general. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like
so,
we talked about earlier.
Yeah, so the podcast is just an arm of that. You know what I mean? And, you know, like I tell guys, man, I'm not formally educated. I graduated high school, you know what I'm saying? So everything that I've learned up to this point has been just simply trying, you know what I mean? And failing and you know, just learning from the missteps, you know what I'm saying?
That's half the battle, though.
Yeah, even exactly. With movie production, with music, with real estate. I didn't go to school for none of that shit, dog. It's just a lot of common sense and that tenacity and that focus from, you know, hustling. Mm-hmm. But, so, yeah, I created the Holding Court Podcast, man. And, you know, I wanted it to be a place where, you know, kind of like Drink Champs, where you come and celebrate the OGs. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of these young niggas, they all, you know, they throw around the term boss. Everybody a boss, boss, boss. I don't think they really have a reference point of what that is. You know what I'm saying? Just because you got some money. You know what I mean? And what, you know, you know, I appreciate the motherfuckers who did it with no reference point. You know what I'm saying? When you look at your, you know, like Luther Campbell's and Tony Draper's and Jay Prince's, you know, there was no reference point of what they did. You You know what I mean? Back then, niggas just wanted a record deal. Well, nobody thinking like, you know what? I can own some shit and control some shit.
Yeah, and they started record companies in places that wasn't known for necessarily putting out no rap music.
That's what I'm saying. So I created the Holding Court podcast to bring on, you know, people, not just, you know, them, but just anybody that's proficient in you know, their lane and what they're doing, and to celebrate them. You know what I mean? And document their journey. Because, man, you know, at this point in my life, bro, I'm all about, you know what I'm saying, inspiring people. You know what I mean? Like, even with healthy living. Like, I look like this. I work out. It's a lifestyle. But I also try to, you know, motivate us as black people, as niggas in the hood, that, you know, to be health conscious. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, it's cool to look like this, but more importantly, you want to be healthy on the inside.
Yeah, because you got to, don't you got a protein or something? You got a protein.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I got my own supplement line called True Muscle Sports. And that was something that P, you know, we travel a lot, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And P, you know, we would go places and people would always ask me, like, what I take? I would run down a laundry list of shit that I take. And nigga P was like, man, you need to be telling these people you take something you own. And then I was like, damn, bro, I never thought about
it. He always thinking about how to hustle some shit.
Yeah,
business,
yeah.
Man.
He always thinking about how to sell some shit.
Well, it's some motherfuckers who has the mentality, like, why give him the money when you can do it yourself?
Yeah.
Why promote his shit when you should be promoting your own shit?
Yeah.
I mean, because I ain't mad at him.
It's the same, I mean, it's the same shit they did. You hear me?
Man. Yeah, I ain't mad at him.
If they can go out and make some protein part, and a lot of people do that. Yep. You get
me? That's all I did. And he helped me with it. He literally found a manufacturing shit.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Court, let's do it. So it's the same thing that we're doing with his, you know, he has his products and all of that with the, you know, grocery store stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna tell you, I saw some Master P rice.
Yeah, he got rice.
Cereal.
He got all cereal, that shit, pancake mix, mm-hmm. all that shit. You know what I'm saying? So
that's a hustling motherfucker, dog.
Man, this nigga, boy, he sell ice to Eskimo twice, I'm trying to tell you. Yeah. So what I told him, I said, P, what we need to do is we need to create something healthy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And let me run that arm of it. Let me be the ambassador for that arm, you know, and especially because his narrative is, you know, black business, black owned. You know, you want to make a way for your people, for your partners. You know what I'm saying? So it's something we doing together. So we have a healthy snack that we've developed that it'll be out this summer. So that and shit, like I say, the Holding Court podcast, I done had shit. Pete and came through and done it. Silk the Shocker. Chico Brown.
Chico the homie. We had Chico on the phone.
Melly Mel. Uh-huh. Shit, Bone Thugs. Well, Flesh and Bone, Busy Bone. Trying to get 8. Excuse me. Trying to get 8 on that motherfucker. Trying to get James on that motherfucker.
Good.
You know what I mean? Sticky Fingers, man. Jasmine Lewis. Jay Prince came through.
Yeah, I know you got a laundry list. You over there, man, in your big fancy place over there. It looks professional and everything.
Oh, man.
It looked good. I was on it, man.
Stage and everything. I did it big because, you know, that's what I'm saying, bro. I come from that understanding of no limit. So we always made shit look big. You always got to make that shit look big when you do it. You know what I mean? So that's why I had my set built. You know, we got the 3 cameras. I got the sound room, the whole 9. You know what I mean? So... You know, but you know, I'm fucking with you still. You know, we gonna figure some shit out.
All right, for sure, man. For sure, man. But man, there you have it, man. And that's, you know what, man? If you got your shit together, you can pretty much accomplish anything in life. And ain't no excuse, dog.
If you got your head on right.
Yeah.
This man came from Kansas City, Missouri, selling weed, dog. Mm-hmm. And doing his thing. Mm-hmm. And manipulated his opportunities, you know what right. I mean?
I made a lot of mistakes, though, James. So, I mean, I made a lot of mistakes. That's part of the process, you know. You have to be willing to fall on your face, you know. So I just didn't get everything right, you know. And that's why I tell youngsters, a lot of the times we as OGs, we have the information, not because we just did everything right. Sometimes we fucked up a lot.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but before you do all that, though, I just want to let me have a moment to give you your flowers, though, and you as well. You know what I'm saying? Because I got inspired to do my podcast because of y'all. You know what I'm saying? And watching that man and his evolution.
Speak on it, man. You got the floor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And watching James, for real, real talk. This ain't no Hollywood shit.
Appreciate you.
Watching you do, you know, your evolution. You know what I'm saying? From the first interview that you did. And I was like, damn. Because it was like, you didn't want to do the cameras. It was just like, you was just like, man, listen, y'all paying me to be here. Fuck it. What you want to know? I'm going to tell you. But then I watched you embrace that space. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And come into your own. And you discovered what you had to offer to the world. You know what
right.
I'm saying? With your testimony and your growth. So, man, salute to you. You know,
thank you.
Real
thank
talk. You.
You
know what I mean?
Appreciate
that. Hey, good.
Come on, bruh. I grew up on you, my nigga. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I feel like this is an older brother right here. You know what I mean? All the way from, nigga, the blue tape.
Mm-hmm.
I bullshit you not. We made it. That was on the clean tape.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We had two versions.
Yeah, that was a super inspirational song, you know, back then. You know what I'm saying? For me, that was the first rap song that I heard that got me into music was Ice-T, Squeeze the Trigger. Mm-hmm. But when I got that blue tape, you know what I'm saying, that we made it, it was like it encapsulated just that dream.
Exactly.
From the hood with a dream.
Because we all had one.
Yeah.
Being young kids, we all had a dream of being something what we became at that moment. You know what I'm saying? So I used to always write raps about that shit, you know, being stuck in poverty, being stuck in the gang shit, and wondering what it would be like if a nigga had a different path. You get me? So, you know, you had to write those perspectives because I felt like it was always somebody like myself out there. You get me? Yeah. Even though a nigga was banging and doing all that shit, we all started from, you know, like Nephew out there. We all started as an innocent young kid who had dreams of, I want to be a police officer, a fireman. Yep. I want to be a motherfucking football player or fucking whatever. And your dream got crushed by growing up in the motherfucking hood, man. Straight up.
Yep. And that song, We Made It, bro, that inspired me. I don't know why. It always stuck with me. You know what I'm saying? And over the years, I would kind of go back to it. You know what I'm saying? To kind of refocus my focus with different levels of my life. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, you know what I mean? I just
want
to give you your flowers
good
as
looking,
well.
Good looking,
fam. You know, and it's good to see you here, you know, healthy. You ain't all fucked up. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? You still got your facilities. You still look like you. Oh, you just had a birthday.
Yes,
so
it did.
Happy belated
good
birthday.
Looking, fam.
You feel
good
me?
Looking.
So, and still, my nigga, I love what you built with this whole thing, you know, and how you spearheading it. You know what I mean? And I appreciate you too, my brother. So, you know, I want to give y'all praise.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
So,
exactly.
We appreciate you, bro. And what's your, you know what, I got these kids. What's your gram? What's your Instagram?
Exactly.
And my Instagram is I Am Big Court. You know what I'm saying? And they can follow the Holding Court podcast on IG as well. You know, and Facebook, I think it's Official Big Court or Big Court Official, some shit like that. But yeah.
For sure, man. We going to have a link in the description, man. Y'all make sure y'all check the homie out. And there's another one down. We out of here.
Yeah.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.